Welcome today to Journey Church, into the warmth, out of the cold. You know, there's an age-old debate over warm weather people versus cold weather people. I am a cold weather person, but I have to say this is a little bit much this morning. So I could use, you know, we can warm it back up a little bit. Let's go back the other way a little bit. I'm glad you guys are all here together. And I'm Aaron Poore. I'm the associate pastor here, if we haven't met yet. Pastor Sean asked me to speak this weekend. We just wrapped up a sermon series last week, and we're getting ready to start one next week that's going to take us into Christmas Eve. And so I have prayed and sought the Lord about what does he want me to share on this weekend. And I believe after a couple false starts, I have found out what he wants to say. And I really do legitimately believe, I think that there's something here that God wants to share with some people here today. Maybe everybody, but for sure, God has something that he wants to say. So I just want to jump right into it with our text. But the text I want to read and have you read along with me, let me give you a little bit of a backstory because we're going to jump right into the middle of a chapter. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what's happening here is the Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's trying to explain to them that being a part of the body of Christ is similar to how our bodies fit together. With all these different parts that we have that come and fit together to create one whole complete body. So that's what he's trying to explain. And I'm going to read this to you from the Message version. And I like to preface whenever I do that, that I don't look at the Message version as like a translation of the Bible. I look at it as like a paraphrase of a translation. And so it can be very helpful and very insightful, but a lot of times when I read out of the Message, I like to have one of my standard translations open next to it, you know, ESV, New King James, something like that, to see how it's paraphrasing that translation. But I think there's some interesting insight we can get from this passage by reading along with the Message translation. So we're in 1 Corinthians 12. That's what Paul's talking about. Let's jump in at verse 12. So he says, "You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I am not elegant like hand embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body, would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, transparent and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size, each is in its proper place. No part is more important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you, or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I guess that's true. It gets easier, by the way. Guys, okay. Let's get back on track. Let's finish this up. So verse 25, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters in to the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about how each one of them are part of something bigger than their individual self, their individual life. He's trying to communicate a really, really, really important truth, that you are plugged in and connected to something much bigger, much grander than you and your own individual life. You know, if you begin to search online for resources about the idea of God's plan, you just start looking up articles and books and podcasts about God's plan, what you're going to find is a long list of content about God's plan for your life, God's plan for your future, God's plan for you. And there isn't anything wrong with that. God does have a plan for your life. He does have a plan for your future. He does have a plan for you. But the only issue is that God is up to a lot more than what is just going on in your life. Amen? And he's been up to a lot more than just your life for a long time before you were ever on the scene. And if Jesus doesn't come back soon, he will continue to be up to a lot more than your life long after you're gone. What that means is that there is something much bigger than just our individual lives. So his plan for your life is significant, but that plan is part of a bigger picture, a bigger effort. This is something that I really honestly used to wrestle with. And being involved in ministry and church and stuff in different ways, sometimes, you know, working at a church, sometimes just having another job and volunteering and serving, I have wrestled at times with this idea of what I'm personally doing for God being big enough or significant enough. And that's been, in the past, that's been something that's been a challenge for me. And on the surface, you might hear that and say, well, that just sounds like the attitude of someone who's setting big goals, right? Yeah, you're just setting the standard high. Or you might think, that's somebody who's choosing to not settle for mediocrity. But in reality, the effect that it had on me was it created a mindset of comparison and self-criticism. and it was not fruitful, and it was not fun. And it was something that I thank God he set me free from. So when God showed me that my story is just one part of a bigger story that's so much bigger and so much grander, it changed me in a huge way. Now, this is one of those things, you talk about the idea of just kind of head knowledge versus revelation. This is one of those things, because I think we all understand this on a basic intellectual level. I mean, this isn't some brand new piece of information you've never heard before. But I don't know how many of us really understand this in a deep way, right? Like it's made that journey from head to heart. So when God showed me this, it really did change almost everything. It made me see that the win is not saying, look what I did. The win is saying, look what we did. And maybe even a better way to say that is, it's not look what God has done through me, it's look what God has done through us. Because I've been plugged into something a lot bigger than just me. Now, I have a question. How many in here are golfers? Golfers. It's okay, you can admit it. Okay. All right, so I was a golfer. Years ago, I was a golfer for 1 year. And the way that I stopped being a golfer is a very frustrating story that I won't tell, because it'll dredge up a lot of past hurt. And I'm not going to do that. But I was a golfer for 1 year, and I did all the things. I went out, I got a set of clubs, I went to a pro shop, I picked out a driver, I picked out a putter. I started going to the driving range and working on my swing, and I did all the things. But I can tell you this, I wasn't a very good golfer. But the most fun that I ever had in that year of playing golf is I played in a tournament. And we had four guys per team, and we played what's called a scramble. Anybody know what that's talking about? So the experience that I got to have as a not very good golfer was I played on a team with three other guys that were better than me, and then we all hit the ball. And, you know, most of the, you know, these other three guys, they hit the ball and it would go off towards the hole. And then mine would start that direction and then go like that. But then the cool thing about playing in a scramble is we got to figure out who did the best job. And we all got to move our ball there and we all got to shoot from that spot the next time. And so I got to participate in something that was bigger than me, with guys that were a little better than me. And, you know, honestly, there were a couple times where my shot was the one that we used, but most of the time, it wasn't. And it ended up being a totally different kind of experience. Dallas Willard has this quote that kind of wraps this up. He says, God has invited us to live and work in a kingdom that is not of our making. Everything we do with him becomes part of his eternal plan. So what we're doing, our effort, our creativity, our investment is going into something bigger than our little limited lives. And this is a big revelation. So what I just want to do with the time we have is I want to take some time and tear down any walls that we've built up of comparison or maybe even pride in our heart by this idea of kind of self-focus. I don't mean selfishness. I just mean our focus is inward on what's happening right here around me. But I also want this to be a time where we can be encouraged to recognize that God is doing something great around us in the world today, and we have a significant part in that. So let's talk about finding yourself in God's story today. And I want us to avoid something that I think is a really legitimate danger. And it, because there's a real danger when you become so hyper-focused on our needs, our world, our life, that we miss the amazing things that God is doing around us. And to take that a step further, we miss the opportunity to be part of those amazing things. So I have here a puzzle piece, and it is a unique puzzle piece. This particular one my wife Sarah gave me is from a puzzle that every single piece is totally, completely unique, very different from each other. And this puzzle piece should represent our life, because this puzzle piece only finds its purpose when it is fit into a bigger picture. It doesn't really experience its purpose by itself. I mean, it's made to fit into, if you will, a context of things that are happening around it. There are other puzzle pieces that are waiting for this one to connect so that a bigger picture, a bigger purpose can be seen. So this puzzle piece needs the big picture. It needs the big picture. I need the big picture. But here's the interesting thing. If you flip that over and look at it from the other way, the big picture also needs the puzzle piece. The puzzle piece does not have the option to just say, oh, well, this isn't all about me. Well, I'm just going to go sit this out. Because then the big picture suffers. Because if you want to complete that whole picture, you need every piece. So the puzzle piece needs the big picture to realize its purpose. But the big picture needs this puzzle piece to have completion and fullness. And God is calling you to be part of His story. And let me say something right here that I want to be real careful, just kind of take a step back and be sure that you understand. I'm not trying to be critical or, come across like judgy or anything like that. I really want us to steer, I want to steer us towards like hope, but I do want to say something to kind of jar us out of this mindset that is so easy for us all to get kind of stuck in. This kind of idea of like, what's happening with me? What's happening in my world? And I want to say this. You are a part of God's story more than God is a part of your story. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to be critical or judgy or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is in the grand scheme of things, because God is a part of your story. That's true. He is a part of your story. But the more accurate way, the more healthy way, the more fruitful way to look at your role and your piece and your place is to understand the difference between these two approaches. You are a part of God's story more than He is a part of your story. Because here's what happens. Too many people look at this puzzle piece, and instead of thinking, ah, that's me fitting into God's picture, they look at this puzzle piece and they think, ah, this is God fitting into my picture. And if you're not careful, you will fall into that way of thinking without even realizing it. And one way that you can discern if that's starting to happen is to just look at the way that you pray. Now, Jesus told us to pray a lot of different things with a lot of different focuses. Jesus did tell us to pray about our own lives, but He also gave us an order, right? So when His disciples said, Jesus, how should we pray? He said, well, start off and just worship God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. But then the very next thing He said is you should pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, Lord, let my puzzle piece fit into your kingdom and your will. And so we can see whether or not this has affected our thinking when we hear things like, when we pray, God, here's what I need you to do today. God, bless this thing. Lord, I'm doing this thing. Bless this thing. Lord, I need you to come and do this. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking God for help, like I said, but we should be starting with God's plans, not ours. Lord, your will be done. Pastor Sean has this quote that in like the 30 or so years that I've been listening to Pastor Sean preach and teach, this has got to be in like the top five of Pastor Sean quotes. And it came from a message from several years ago. But he said, we should be asking the question, God, what are you doing today and how can I be a part of it? God, what are you doing today and how can I be a part of it? Because I think that sometimes some of us say, God, here's what I'm doing today, and here's how you can be a part of it. But if we want to really break into freedom, if we really want to break into liberty, and if we really want to experience the satisfaction that God has intended for us in this life, it's going to be in finding our place in what He's doing. So we are the piece that fits into His plan, not the other way around. Pastor Sean also, just a couple weeks ago, he gave us a great test for this. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but he said, if all of your prayers that you are praying right now were answered like that, would it change the world or would it just change your world? And that reveals that thinking. Are you thinking about this larger picture that you fit into or not? So here's the thing that I think is important. Until you realize that your life is part of something bigger than you, you won't be willing to invest it in anything that might jeopardize its security, safety, or comfort. And when I say invest it, I'm not talking about just like finances or something like that. I'm talking about your time, your life, your energy, your creativity, your hopes, your dreams. You're not going to invest those things into something that feels as small and confined as your individual world. You're going to need to see something bigger, grander, that stretches out. So we're not in, well, let me say it this way. You should be, if you're following Jesus, you should be regularly confronted with things that feel bigger than you. If you're literally holding the hand of Jesus and walking down this path, you should be led into things that feel bigger than you, because partnering with Jesus means that there are going to be times that you don't have what it takes all by yourself to manage those things or to even get through those things. You're going to, by default, be led into situations that feel overwhelming. Why? Because He's bigger than you. Because He's able to handle those situations. We're supposed to be putting our trust in Him and saying, I trust the Lord with all my heart and I don't lean on my own understanding. And so if we're following Jesus, we should be confronted with things that feel bigger than us on a regular basis. A.W. Tozier said, God is looking for people through whom He can do the impossible. What a pity we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. It will be easier to find yourself in God's story if you remember that God thinks bigger than we do. He dreams bigger than we do. He plans bigger than we do. Faith is the understanding that partnership with God will involve God-sized dreams. It will involve God-sized opportunities. When I say God-sized, I mean bigger than me. Bigger than me. Bigger than what I could have done. It'll involve God-sized challenges. It means that faith means that I know that partnering with God means that I'm going to be brought up against some walls that I don't have the power to knock over all by myself. There are going to be moments where I have no choice but to trust Him and to stand in faith and to stand on what His Word says. Faith is the understanding that partnership with God will involve God-sized provision, more than you can do on your own. And it involves God-sized victories. I love that verse that says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us to victory through Jesus Christ." God's bigger. He thinks bigger. He dreams bigger. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." This is a new way of thinking. This is a different perspective. This is a new mindset. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones and are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You are like living stones that are built together to form a spiritual house. I asked them to leave this illustration up from last week. Pastor Sean had up here, where he talked about, you know, these stones, they could represent the church. And I can't say I am the church, but I can say I am part of the church. And I have a stone. And this is also from the church property. And this is my stone. It actually has my name on it right there. Don't swipe my stone. But what can I do with this stone? You know, I mean, this stone, what is its purpose? And it becomes awkward and difficult and confusing when I try to find my purpose isolated, alone, by myself, doing my thing. But when I lift my eyes up from my little world, and I see the bigger thing that God is doing, then I find that I have a purpose in fitting in to what God is doing. I am a puzzle piece that fits into God's picture. And we see this happen over and over again. There's so many examples of this. You know, my background is in music. And I can tell you, if you were to listen to some famous symphony orchestra piece, you know, if you were to listen to something by Beethoven or whatever, and then you were to just pull one instrument out and just listen to like the second violin that sits kind of three rows back and just listen to their part, it may not make much sense what they're doing. It may not seem like what they're doing is very artistic or beautiful, or meaningful, but it has a place that adds to the fullness and the beauty of the whole. Back when I was in college, I played in a little guitar ensemble quartet thing, and you know, we would all play different parts. And sometimes my part would be like, da, 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 da. And, you know, I'm reading the sheet music, and that's literally what it says to play. It's like bone-chillingly boring by itself. And, you know, I'm practicing that, so I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so boring. But then when you sit down with everybody else and you start playing together, then the beauty of the whole emerges. When I say whole, I mean W-H-O-L-E, the whole complete piece emerges. And then you're like, ah, I see how my piece fits. This is the truth and the reality of how we function and thrive in the kingdom of God. God set me free when he taught this to me. And I think that it's not just me. I think there are other people who you may not even realize it, but because your focus, and I'm not saying this is like some sort of intense selfishness or anything. I'm just saying your focus is so like at your feet and on what's happening right here that you just don't have the zoomed out big picture of what God's doing around you. And when you get that, it changes everything. When I learned this, it set me free from so many levels of stress about comparing myself. Well, how does my part compare with somebody else's part? You know, am I as significant as that? You know, it set me free from that. And the appearance and what other people are thinking, you know, do they think I do a good job? Do they know that I worked hard on this? And it just set me free from all that because it doesn't matter, because it's not about me. It's not about me. You know, I used to be, believe it or not, I used to be really stressed out about public speaking and preaching and all that. It used to be really stressful to me because I would always wonder, do people think I'm a good public speaker? Did I do something that made people think I'm not a good public speaker? Like that was some sort of standard I set for myself for some reason. And it just constantly would be playing, you know, on endless loop in my mind anytime I would try to get up and speak. This was many years ago when I was much more immature. And I can tell you, God totally set me free from that. I am as comfortable talking to all of you as I would be if I was just talking to one of you across the table. I might be more comfortable doing this because I get to do all the talking here. But he set me free because it's really like, if you think that I'm a good public speaker or not, it really doesn't matter to me. It just really doesn't matter. I have one goal and one purpose, and whether it's doing this or leading worship or serving in some other way that's not on a platform, the goal is, what am I doing for the kingdom of God right now? And is the kingdom of God benefiting and growing? And is there fruit coming from this? That's all I really care about. And so like right now, what I'm thinking is, I know God has something that I'm supposed to share with you. And all I really care about is that you're getting it. If you think I'm a good public speaker or not, I really don't care. And so I'm saying that to say God has set me free from that, but it's because he showed me the bigger picture. I'm part of something so much bigger than me. And after all, this was God's idea, not mine. I didn't come up with this plan. I didn't create this. It's not my strategy. It's God's. John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. God says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I did this. This is my idea. I picked you out. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose, his purpose. It's God who works in us. We're part of something bigger. Ephesians 2:10 is one of my favorites. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're going to close this out and do communion. And I just want to leave you with one encouraging thing before we do that. The reason this will set you free is so much of the weight and the pressure that you feel in life, the anxiety, the stress, the worry, the what ifs, is because so much of your attention is on everything that is happening right here. And it's in front of you all the time. And you're thinking about the bill that's not going to get paid, or the relationship that needs to be mended, or the situation that's happening at work, or a financial crisis, or a health crisis, or a relationship crisis. And those things are relentless, and they come to you every day and demand your attention, and they create stress, and they create anxiety. And it's helpful and healthy for us to lift up our eyes and see the grander scheme and the bigger picture of what God is doing. And that He has called us to be part of that. He's called you, your individual life, to be a piece of that. And I have this one thing that I want to share with you that I believe could be prophetic for some people in here. And I want you to receive it that way. And I want to say, even though you are a piece of a bigger picture, your piece is extremely important to God. Your piece, your individual piece, your unique piece is extremely important to God. Even though you are one part of God's story, He really loves your part. This is true. This is true. The Father is proud of the part you play. And not only did God choose you, not only did God prepare this for you before you were born, God is not going to stop working with you and working on you until the work is complete. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to walk away. God is staying with you and staying with this project that is you until the end. Let's stand up, and I want to read you this last verse. Philippians 1:6, it says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Let me read it one more time. "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ." Father, we thank You for the work You are doing in us. We thank You, Lord God, that You are taking each and every one of us and You are crafting and shaping a piece that fits into the amazing work of art that You're creating, the amazing strategy, the amazing plan that You have running on the earth right now. You are working with each one of us, and You are refining us, and You are preparing us to have an important, significant role in what You're doing. God, we're so grateful for that. We don't take it for granted. And Lord, I just pray that our hearts be open right now and our eyes be open to see this perspective of life. We know, Lord God, that the individual things going on in our lives are very important, and You care about those things. But Lord, right here, right now, we ask that You would elevate our perspective, that we would zoom out, just like on being on Google Earth, where you're on your location and then you start zooming out and you see your city and then your state and then the country, and you just see this bigger picture emerging. God, give us that sort of a picture and a perspective on life and what You're doing in Your kingdom in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to take communion now. There are elements on tables on both sides of the stage up here and in the back of the room. And as we start this song, just come forward, grab those, return to your seat, and take communion there.